July of 2016, the Republican Party convened for their national convention and declared internet pornography as a public health crisis. And this is not a unique moment. This has come up in state legislatures across the country. And I came across an article, and I've thought about this before. We haven't had the time to have a conversation about it. Joining me in studio is John Tatey. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's pretty late on the Patty V Show, but I saw an article today on Vice.com, and the headline was, "Sexual violence is a huge problem, but don't blame porn." And I was like, you know what? I want to talk about this. We haven't had a chance to. And joining us on the line is Dr. Justin Lay Miller, who is a research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the blog Sex and Psychology. His latest book is Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Justin Lay Miller. Joining us on the line right now from Indianapolis, thank you so much for joining us, Doc. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Patty.
We are pleased to have you. So this was something that I noticed it's not just a couple of years ago, but anytime there is a movement to censor lyrics or images when it comes to sexuality, because we seem drawn to images of violence and we're okay with that. I'll give you an example. My father would always make me leave a movie that had sex in it, but when there was violence, that seemed to be okay. What do you think there's a correlation, or what do studies show about the correlation between porn and violence?
Sure. So there's been a lot of research on this subject, and the best study that I can point you to is a recent review of the literature where they looked at all the data we have available, and what they find is that the link between pornography and sexual violence is actually the opposite of what most people claim. So rather than finding that as pornography has become more widely acceptable, that people are committing more acts of sexual violence, they're actually committing fewer acts of sexual violence. Now, correlation is obviously not causation, but what the data seem to suggest is that pornography is not leading to this wave of sexual violence that so many politicians are claiming.
And is there a possibility, and I'm sure another study has to be done, is perhaps the access people have to porn, whether it's on their laptops or on their phones. And yes, we know that there are people who become addicted and they're unable to separate what the sort of fantasy world they've created when it comes to porn and what this idealized version of sex should be, how a woman should look or how they should feel. But perhaps the access to it leads to what you're seeing in the numbers as far as sexual violence, at least in the United States. Do you think?
Sorry, can you rephrase the question? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. Perhaps the fact that there's so much access to porn gives people an outlet as opposed to the idea that porn leads to violence.
Right. And that is something that some researchers have argued, is that it could potentially be this outlet, this way that people might obtain sexual release, if you will, that reduces the odds of them committing acts of sexual violence. Again, you know, whether that's actually the case, we can't say, because correlational data is limited by its nature, but the data just aren't consistent with that idea that we're seeing this big increase in sexual violence in the era of internet porn.
What are your thoughts when it comes to state legislatures that are making, you know, moves to deem porn as a health crisis, as they did in Florida just an hour after they dismissed any sort of legislation on gun violence, any precautions or safety measures?
I think that it's misguided, and it's really a distraction from the real issues that we're facing that are seriously affecting the health of everyday Americans. Porn is something that is an easy target for politicians to go after because it's something that has very few defenders, and it's easy to paint it in this negative light. But again, we've got lots and lots of studies showing that all of these claims that are made about porn, that it leads to sexual violence, that it causes divorce, that it leads to sexual dysfunction and all of these other problems. If you actually seriously look at the data, what you see is that it's not consistent with those explanations. So I think that this idea of porn as the boogeyman, it's really just a distraction from the real issues that are facing us.
Dr. Laymiller, you said that porn doesn't have many defenders, which makes an easy target, but I know it has a lot of viewers and has a lot of customers, whatever the word is. Do you have any, in seriousness, do you have any sense or data on what proportion of population actually partakes in pornography, despite its few defenders?
That's a great question. And, you know, the numbers certainly vary from study to study. But what the data seem to show is that most Americans do use porn, at least occasionally. Men certainly seem to use it more than women, but most men and women do use it, at least occasionally. And as some particularly telling evidence of this, I know some people who were trying to conduct a study a few years back where they wanted to look at men who had never used porn before, and they really couldn't find any participants for their study because most men have done this. So it's very, very hard to find people, especially men, who have never looked at porn before.
And when they did this study, and I know this wasn't necessarily your study, but the studies that have been done, they look for, you know, whether or not someone likes a video too as part of their evaluation, their quantitative material. Do you know how many likes did this get? The videos that have extreme violence or some violence even where there's force aren't as much sought out for as the ones that are perhaps just physical or, you know, an expression. They also did a study on how much women were moaning as an example of pleasure. You know, mm-hmm. What were some of the ideas as far as then, you know, are people really drawn to violent porn?
Right. So one of the claims that's been going around is that porn desensitizes people and that the more they watch it, the more extreme stuff they're going to seek out. But the data aren't consistent with that idea. And in fact, what we see in this recent analysis of Pornhub videos that was published in the Journal of Sex Research is that videos that have more violent content, and especially content that appears to be non-consensual, those videos are less popular. They're less watched. They get fewer likes. They get more thumbs down. So it doesn't seem to be the case that people are wanting or increasingly looking for violent porn. In fact, the trend is away from violent pornography. Those videos are becoming less prevalent and they are less liked and less sought out after. What people want to see in pornography is consensual acts, right? They want to know that the people who are participating are enjoying it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we also see in the data that most pornography depicts acts of female sexual pleasure. So you can see women enjoying themselves as opposed to what appears to be something non-consensual.
Not that I have searched for any kind of porn, let's say I'm on Pornhub or RedTube or any one of these other two. But when there is a video for what I have noticed is, so I mean, my listeners know that I travel a lot and I'm by myself on the road and sometimes you just have to take care of business. So what I have noticed is if there is a video that seems to be a forced situation, they often put like at the end of the video, a conversation where they talk about how this was role playing.
I've seen that.
Well, not that anybody fast forwards to the end of the video, but I mean, there is.
Well, you click around. I mean, let's be honest.
Right. So, I mean, like there, you know, I guess I'm sure there are people who watch the videos online and think, oh, right, this is something that really happened. And maybe that feeds into some predilection they already have. But there are people who have fantasies that might, you know, constitute, you know, not giving in to, you know, having something done against your will. And that there's mm-hmm. something to that fantasy as well that people are uncomfortable with, isn't there?
Yeah, and actually, I literally just wrote an article about this for Playboy yesterday, all about forced sex fantasies and how we should think about them in the era of Me Too. And these fantasies are very common, where someone fantasizes about another person taking them against their will. But in a forced sex fantasy, people are still in control of what happens, right? They're still consenting to everything that happens because it's in the fantasy.
Right.
And people oftentimes will search for porn that might depict forced sex because that's something they fantasize about, but they don't truly want it to be forced, right? They still want to know that everyone is consenting to what happens. There's a big difference between, you know, this idea of being turned on by forced sex and then actually wanting non-consensual sex. Those are two very, very different things.
What would you say to folks who do think that pornography is a health crisis in this country?
I would say to look at the data. And what we see is that pornography can have a wide range of effects. And there are certainly some people for whom porn seems to be a negative experience, where they're distressed about their pornography use and where it might be causing problems in their relationship. But what we often see in those cases is that it's because they feel guilt or embarrassment or shame about their porn use, and that's really what the problem is. So porn is problematic for some people, but we also see that it's a very good thing for other people, and that it is a sexual outlet, and it allows them to live out certain fantasies that they might have. And when people engage in shared porn use with a partner, that can actually benefit their relationship because it's a form of novelty and it leads to increases in sexual satisfaction. So porn is not this simple thing that has the same effect on everybody who watches it. It has different effects on different people, and it's a very complex story. But this idea that we hear, this simple narrative that it's a public health crisis, just isn't founded when you look at the actual research data.
I want to have another conversation with you in the next few weeks, if you wouldn't mind, because it sounds like you have such a wealth of knowledge, and you know, you've been doing this work. We often have segments on the show called the Midnight Tease, where we talk about adult topics, and people do get uncomfortable, but there is something to sort of breaking through that. I as a stand-up comic, my philosophy has always been, you know, your bodies can be fun, you know, and the more you feel self-conscious and uncomfortable with yourself, the less fun that is, and the more angry you can get in different ways. So if you have time, we would love to invite you back on our show and have another phone call, if you would be willing.
Sure, I'm happy to do that.
Are you a night owl?
Talk about sex anytime, night or
me too.
Or other times of the day.
Can I, I just had one more question. Before.
Absolutely, please,
you know,
do, John.
This Patty touched on this notion of, and so did you, Dr. Leigh Miller, of porn basically as a gateway drug. It's amazing how this gateway drug narrative pops up in different morality debates. But this notion that viewing porn causes people to need more and more extreme pornography to get excited. Have you witnessed, you know, to what extent have you witnessed actual cases of that? And is there some common thread through the cases if you have?
So that's a good question. And, you know, what I have seen in the data is that pornography is not consistent with this idea of being a gateway. It's also not consistent with this idea of something that is addictive, right? When we talk about pornography as something that, you know, leads to increases in dopamine and the release of other neurotransmitters in the brain, you can find that for anything that is pleasurable. There's nothing that's unique about porn in that way. And in fact, what the data show is that pornography is not addictive in the same way as, say, drugs and alcohol are. But I think people like to latch on to the idea that porn is addictive because it feeds into this broader narrative that they like to say about porn, which is that it's unhealthy and that it's immoral. So again, to go back to the research, there's a lot of data on this, and it just isn't consistent with those addiction and drug narratives that we so often hear.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I find there often comes a moment where I am no longer interested in pornography whatsoever.
Well,
I don't know if you've had that experience.
My issue a few years ago when I was hanging out with a bunch of comics was I was like, you guys expect the hair to be all gone? When did that happen? The expectations have changed, and maybe we'll talk about that next time. Again, we've been talking to Dr. Justin Leigh Miller, who is a research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the blog Sex and Psychology. His latest book is Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. Please follow him on Twitter at Justin Leigh Miller. That's LEHMILLER. Thank you so much, Doc. Appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thanks, Patty. Great to talk to you.
Great talking to you. More after this on 720 WGN.